Big pitch set out on top, but the ball is loose. And if they get it to Seaver, it's going to be Louisville in front. Oh! Incredible!
Home of the greatest.
The Louisville native, Muhammad Ali, who was here earlier, once said, "I shook up the world." In BCS Bowl terms, you guys shook up the world.
I am the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it. You're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man. I shook up the world.
First and third, two out. The 2-2 from Iggy.
Swing and a miss. The Cards are headed to Omaha.
Welcome in. We keep it rolling right here on ESPN Louisville 105.7, ESPN 680, and 93.9. The Ville. Taylor Lynch, Ethan Moore hanging out with you guys. A little LSL on a Monday night as we talk all things Louisville football and Scott Satterfield leaving to take the Cincinnati job, thankfully giving Louisville a much-needed $4 million boost. Thank you, Cincinnati, for helping with that one. But we keep your continuing coverage rolling right here on our ESPN family of networks. You guys know how to get in touch with us. 267-9680 is the number if you want to jump on in here. Please feel free to do so. Text away to the text line if you want to do that. As well, Spencer Brown on the ones and twos, making us sound good, keeping this thing rolling as we have you guys up until 9 o'clock. We will continue the coverage here on the show. So, Ethan, your first opportunity here on these airwaves to give your takes, give your opinion. How you feeling, buddy?
Relief. I think that would be if I could only give one word about to sum up today's events, it's relief. Not that Satterfield did a bad job by any stretch, but I think that his tenure ran its course here, if we're being honest. I think there was a lot of the fan base that was trying to manufacture some juice, some excitement with him, you know, earning another year here. And you know, I don't know about you guys, but when I first heard the news this morning, I mean, I was excited. I mean,
yes.
I was just like, okay, let's turn the page. I thank him for turning the program around, you know, removing us from the doldrums that was 2018 when Petrino quit on the program and the team. You know, certainly the program is in a better spot than when Satterfield took it. But then, too, you had the other, you know, you had the other scenario, Taylor, of Satterfield getting blasted by the arch rival, you know, having these disappointing games, the predictable play calling. And still, you know, I'm a little surprised. Maybe this is just me. I'm still a little surprised at the fan reaction. And I guess maybe I shouldn't be the trolling of Cincinnati basically saying, thanks. Thanks, UC. We'll see you, bros.
Thank
you, know,
you next.
I was a little surprised at that because I do think he did a good job. Certainly not great, but we are in a better spot football-wise than we were when Satterfield first took the job. But getting back to my main point, he ran his course here. There wasn't much other that you could really get super excited about. Yes, the recruiting class that we have in tow. We're going to find out, guys, the next 2 weeks – we're going to find out how much of it was NIL opportunities versus Satterfield and staff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be more so the first aspect than it is the second. But we're going to see that play out, and that's the one certainly the aspect of all this that I'm going to be watching here the next couple of weeks is, you know, can this Flyville 23 class, you know, stay mostly intact? I certainly think, you know, I'm a little concerned with Ruben Owens, of course, and DeAndre Moore, because those, you know, those are kids that were taking visits anyways. You know, but I still think right now they're both in a holding pattern and we'll see what happens. You know, I don't know about you, Taylor. I caught glimpses of the show this evening when you or Jack were talking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't really a coaching search, right? This is all aboard the Brom bus, or do you think there will be some other candidates explored?
I think – now, what would I want? Because those are two different things.
Let's do both.
Okay, so what I want is there to be an actual search. I want there to be a thorough vetting of candidates. I want there to be a real search. I want Louisville to not necessarily take their time with this, but do their due diligence with this. Go and find the best guy to do this job. And if the best guy to do this job is Jeff Brohm, he will still be the best guy to do this job in 4 or 5 days. And if the Flyville 23 class is going to come here for NIL, they're still going to come here for NIL in 4 to 5 days.
Okay.
So I want to see a real search. Now, what do I think is going to happen? I think Jeff Brohm is going to be the head coach by Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you there. Yeah, and I do think time is certainly of the essence here. You don't want to rush things, but let's not make this more difficult than it has to be. This is a marriage waiting to happen. This is the relationship, the high school fling that is now available. You know, you're in middle age, and now it's all coming full circle. Let's just go ahead and exchange the vows, get this thing rolling, and you know, we have excitement again. If it's Brohm Taylor,
yeah,
we know how he's going to feel about the rivalry game. He's going to be throwing chairs through walls. He's going to get people fired up. He's going to know the importance of that game alone. He is going to be able to lock the city of Louisville down. And I still think that we're going to be able to keep some recruiting momentum.
Yeah.
If you look at Purdue's class right now, according to 247, they're 35th nationally. I mean, that's, you know, again, the 5023 class is ranked higher, obviously. But still, if you're able to pull in top 35 classes at Purdue, you're able to win 8 and 9 games there, compete for a Big Ten championship like you did this weekend. I mean, there's not very many programs that can take a sitting Power 5 coach, and it looks like Louisville will be able to do just that.
And it's different, and we've heard a lot of people complain. Jack and I have heard it. We've heard it on several shows today about Purdue and about Jeff Brohm and the fact that...
Sounds good. How's it taste?
Dude, you know, it's good, man. It's good. Look, I haven't eaten at all. So I had Jack.
Well, how about this? Since I can complete your sentences, I'll let you finish eating. Are you talking about some people are bringing up, you know, you don't want to bring back a former Louisville player?
No.
Look at KP. That.
No, it's not even that.
False analogy.
No, okay. It's not even that. And that is a false analogy in this case because, you know, Jeff Brohm's actually been a head coach before.
Sure.
But no, for me, it's we've heard people talk about, you know, how Louisville or how Purdue, you know, Jeff Brohm, you know, barely has a winning record at Purdue, and you know, he got them to the Big Ten title game this season, but they were 8-4, and you know, how much is he really going to be able to do here at Louisville, and is he going to be a 6-6 or an 8-4 coach here at Louisville, and is that good enough, and blah 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 blah. But I would argue, Ethan, that coaching in the Big Ten and coaching, granted, he was in the easy division of the Big Ten, mm-hmm. but still, coaching in the Big Ten is a lot different than coaching in the ACC. Mm-hmm. And I think that Jeff Brohm can do what he's doing in the ACC at a higher level. Or
sure.
Do what he's doing in the Big Ten and do it at the ACC, but do it at a higher level. Because the level of competition is different in the ACC than it is in the Big Ten. I don't think in a year-in and year-out basis, you're playing Boston College, you're playing Syracuse, you're playing Duke, you're playing Virginia. You're playing teams that are not very good. In the Big Ten, you've got a couple of teams like that, but one of the teams that we all joked about for years was Illinois, and look what Illinois was this season.
Yeah.
So it's a different beast in the Big Ten than it is in the ACC.
Exactly right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. You know, certainly if you just look at the numbers, you can say, you know, Jeff Brohm is just 2 games above 500 versus Satterfield's 1 game above 500. But the point that you made about the competition, you know, is well made. He had some clunkers in there. He's also 3-1 against the top five. So, you know, that's an impressive stat. I don't care how you slice it. I don't care how they were able to achieve to win the Big Ten West. They were only 8-4, but you know what? They won the Big Ten West.
Yeah, they went to a conference title game. That's something Louisville hasn't done since they've been in the ACC.
Exactly. And they made it a hell of a game. I thought they were going to get boat raced from start to finish, and that was a ball game well into the second half. So, you know, Jeff Brohm knows how to get his teams ready, especially for big games. Again, three wins against the top five. He's going to understand the rivalry. And he understands the recruiting as well. I'm going to go back when I have some more time to really see, you know, Purdue's recruiting class rankings through the years. But, I mean, this is a match made in football heaven. It really is. The stars are aligning. And, you know, when you first heard, you know, some scuttlebutt and shouts out to you, I saw your tweet, Big Dog. You know, you were setting it up. You had a good source that told you, wait a minute, you know, listen, I think that, you know, we're preparing to see him go to Purdue. And both of us, when we were talking about it, well, you know, we still have a coach.
Right.
Makes a lot more sense today.
Yeah, I mean, and to fill you in, guys, if you didn't hear that earlier, I do have a person that is close to me that I work with that is a major Purdue booster, big-time Purdue booster, gives a lot of money there to the university, and he came to me last week and told me, hey, I don't know what you're hearing, but I'm just telling you what we're hearing. We are hearing that Jeff Brohm is going to leave after the Big Ten title game and take the Louisville job. And at that point, I told him he was nuts last week because none of this was even spoke about. I mean, we still had a coach. It looked like, for all intents and purposes, that Scott Satterfield was probably going to get an extension. And so I laughed it off. And you and I talked about it. And you know, you went through some sources of your own. And it just did not feel like there was any smoke to that. But now it makes a lot more sense. Absolutely. Even if Jeff Brohm is not the head coach at Louisville, the fact that that rumor was out there meant that Scott Satterfield was not sticking around, and that totally makes sense now.
Yeah, it really does. And so, you know, you can look at the Scott Satterfield, you know, departure, you know, a variety of ways. I take like a middle of the road stance. I mean, because let's face it, Taylor, the vast majority of the fan base, and when I say vast majority, I'm talking like 95% of us wanted him canned after the BC loss. So, you know, when he did turn the season around somewhat, I don't begrudge him for, like, you know, looking for a safe landing spot. And, you know, there's been some scuttlebutt also today that, you know, he and Josh Hurd spoke, and, yeah, you know, Josh Hurd wasn't ready to pull the trigger on an extension or raise. And kudos to Hurd for not doing that.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't think that he was deserving of a major raise or an extension. I think that you could certainly make the argument that he was deserving of another year. But, you know, you can't get you can't lose to teams like Boston College and then get smacked by a rival three straight times, and in your fourth year finally recruit at the level that you should have been recruiting at, you know, at least be in the neighborhood of the top 25. You know, the recruiting, you know, was late to blossom to where we thought it would be. The in-game corrections, the in-game adjustments were always late, whether that be a season,
right,
or a game or a half. We saw that across the board. We saw the team start the season the last 2 years flat against Ole Miss, flat against Syracuse. We saw some good games as well. But you know what, Taylor? The one thing, and Josh alluded to this in his presser today, talking about the capacity of Cardinal Stadium, for whatever reason, even when Louisville was playing much better this season, the stadium was a third to a half empty, and that cannot continue. I do think if Brohm's brought on board, dude, I mean, the excitement is going to be there once again for Louisville. Brohm not only knows the football program, the ins and outs, he understands the community, he understands what it means for Louisville football, he understands why people tailgate longer than they should and are late arriving to the stadium. He just gets it again. This is a match made in football heaven. Let's get this done.
I agree with you. I feel like it's different from, because a lot of people said the same things about Kenny Payne and that, you know, he understands it, he gets it. And a lot of people are gun shy about bringing somebody in that was a former player because of how it seemingly the Kenny Payne decision has blown up in everybody's face. But this is different. Jeff Brohm has been a head coach at multiple places, is a head coach in the Power 5, in the Big 10. It's different. Yes, he's at Purdue, but still, he's a Power 5 head coach. It's much different than taking a guy that hasn't been in college for several years and bringing him here. It's much different.
The one fear that I've always had with Jeff Brohm, like I would push back like months ago when his name would come up in coaching searches, mm-hmm. was that look at the Scott Frost situation in Nebraska. Hometown guy.
Yeah.
He goes back to his alma mater. He's the, you know, the savior of Nebraska football. And it flames out, and that relationship is just, you know, it's not going to be the same because
absolutely.
Of that marriage there. And if Jeff Brohm came home, would the expectations be too high for him to succeed? And, you know, that is, you know, the first family of Louisville football there, and you just completely cut that entire family out if he was to come home and not succeed. That's the only fear that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I am lesser on that today than I was, like I said, back into the BC loss, didn't want to hear. There was other guys I wanted that was interested in. But seeing him lead that Purdue team to a Big Ten championship game appearance, I am more sold on Brohm today than I was, you know, 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair take. I know some people were bringing up Coach Prime.
Right.
I mean, as much pizzazz and charisma as he brings, mm-hmm. this would be a stepping stone job for mm-hmm. him.
Yeah.
And so, but I think, too, you know, what is success for Louisville football? I would argue if you can win 8 games a season, you have a 10-win year sprinkled in as well, then you're doing okay for yourself, and by and large, most fans will be happy.
But, Ethan, I think that the expectation for Louisville football and what the bar is and what the – I think it changes right now with the addition of the 12-team playoff.
Okay.
I feel like it changes a little bit the expectation for Louisville football, because I feel like if you are now 9-3 and you played a good schedule and you lost to teams that are 9-10 win teams or what have you, you still have the opportunity to play your way into that top 12 and have sure. an opportunity to play for a championship. So Louisville is in a position where they could be that team that is, you know, 9-3, 10-2, you know, 8-4 at the bottom of the bar. The lowest bar should be 8-4 for this football program. And I've been chastised for that, for having that take, and I've had people say that my expectations for Louisville football are too high, but I've seen Louisville football be great. I've seen Louisville football beat Florida in a Sugar Bowl. I've seen Louisville football dominate Miami in the Russell Athletic Bowl and have Devontae Parker standing over dudes in the end zone. Like, that is the Louisville football that I grew up in. That is the Louisville football that I saw in my teens. I sat on the floor in my living room as a 7-year-old and watched Brian Brohm win the Orange Bowl. Like, that is the Louisville football that I am used to. And I sat through Cragthorpe just like everybody else did.
Ooh.
And you know, and that was hard for me because those were my formative years, and I'm like, why? I remember asking my dad, like, what is going on? Why is Louisville not good anymore? What's the deal? And then we got our season football tickets when Charlie Strong took over, and we rode that wave. So I know what Louisville football can be, and that is why my expectations are so high for this program and for what this program can be. And the next head coach's expectations need to be the same, and the fan base's expectations need to be the same. There's nothing wrong with having high expectations as a fan base, but Louisville should absolutely, moving forward, should be in a position where they are 8-4, 9-3, 10-2, knocking on that door of getting into that 12-team playoff.
Now, how many let's go back just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
As far as making that 12-team playoff, what is your realistic expectation if you have a 10-year span?
If you have a 10-year span, you should be in that top 12 range probably 3 times out of that 10-year span.
Oof. That is rather lofty.
But Ethan,
but listen,
if you're
I don't begrudge you for that. I mean,
but if you're 9-3, if you're 9-3 and you have an opportunity to be, is it out of the realm of possibility to expect your team to be 9-3 at least 3 times?
To beat teams that are very good.
No. Yes.
No. I agree with you there. 9-3, 3 times out of 10, absolutely.
And that could be enough to get in the 12-team playoff.
Really? See, I think 10-2 would you're going to be.
There's not going to be that many 10-2 teams though.
K-State
is the thing
was 9-3 and they ranked 10th going into the
exactly
last week.
Exactly.
Who was that team?
K-State.
Yeah, K-State.
They were 10th in the country. Right. They were 9-.
I think Utah also has 3 losses.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. You're going to have opportunities.
Point well made. Do give a shout out to a couple fans. You know, Birdhead Ryan. He's been he's somebody that has been very happy that Satterfield has moved on up I-71. I know I got a couple other buddies too that were just never sold on him, soured with his flirtation to South Carolina, and I think that's something, Taylor, that as a Louisville fan base, we talk about expectations and, you know, you talk about what you're wanting out of the program. Something, the dynamic for the fan base is, man, we're a jaded football fan base. When we have been spurned so many times from coaches, you know, up in the middle of the night, you have the infamous John L. going to Michigan State, you know, before
during the
bowl
game.
Exactly, before Twitter and, like, news breaks, and he's still coaching on the sideline. I mean, we have that. Of course, all of Bobby Petrino's flirtations, Charlie Strong moving on to Texas.
But he wasn't cut that way.
Yeah, exactly. So and that's why, too, when Satterfield, and even though, you know, you could certainly, you know, describe and explain, you know, his dad was seriously ill, wanted to get closer to his parents, you get all that, but he still lied to then AD Vince Tyree for about not interviewing, and he did. And a lot of fans, and I don't begrudge him at all, I don't blame him, were like, you know what, I'm done. You know, he lied, he had one foot out the door in his second year. Nice. and they never bought back in. There's several people out there that were like that, and I don't blame them. And so then I keep coming back that if Jeff Brohm is the coach, you have that dynamic. Not only does he understand the program inside and out, he understands the city. He understands the fabric of this football program and what it means. And so if he can build something special here, you're not going to worry about is your coach going to have one foot out the door. And so you saw that with Satterfield. You know, he won the ACC Coach of the Year. His first season here had a very subpar second year, going 4-7, tried to leave to South Carolina. And then the next time he has a little bit of success going 7-5, he's doing the exact same thing here. He has an escape hatch. And then, too, it was a love-hate relationship. How many weeks, Taylor, not only this season or last year, were we hot and cold? Oh, we love Sat Daddy. Now, you know, we're singing, you know, we hear your glorious, sultry tones sing his name. And then how many weeks is the exact opposite when you're like, all right, get this guy out
of here. He's a bum.
So, yeah, you're hot and cold so much. You're literally hiring him and firing him with each week's result. Now he's moved on. Let's get a coach in here. Let's try to keep Flyville 23 intact and keep that momentum going, keep that Florida-Georgia pipeline going.
Yes.
And see what we can build. But excitement is upon us, man. I would be lying to you when news broke that you're like, all right, man, it's like a shot in the arm. It's like, all right.
Let's go.
Right now, let's have a clean slate. And, you know, I defaulted to Brohm, and I know there's other people out there that you know, you're looking at Coach Riley as well. There's other names out there. I get it. Just for me, I was excited. Boom. Now we have an opening.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a lot of us had to talk ourselves into being excited about Satterfield.
Absolutely.
Right or wrong.
I absolutely.
Mean, you bust Wake Forest. Okay. You beat a solid Pitt team. Okay. All right. You win. What, 4 in a row, 5 out of the last 6? You can generate some excitement here, but then you still go back. I mean, Taylor, when you told me that news last week, I got my hopes up again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he's still, you know, a decent to solid coach, but he just didn't have it, if that makes sense.
It never fit here.
No. He just didn't bring that extra chip on your shoulder that you have for this Louisville football program. If Brohm is the coach, he'll have that chip on his shoulder. He would be, if he was a football puzzle piece, in my opinion, he would fit the Louisville football puzzle perfectly. And that's why it's going to have a lot of excitement.
No, you're absolutely right. Let's go to the phone lines. Chris has been patiently waiting. Guys, if you want to get in, you know the number, 267-9680. Chris, welcome in, man. What's up? Chris, are you there, buddy?
Chris is excited to. Chris is so excited. He just maybe missed his calling.
He absolutely is. I think he's all worked up about it.
From Bardstown to actually watch. I don't recall Oscar Braun playing, but we were in that stadium with about 3,000 or 4,000 others watching U of L football back then, making the long trip in from Bardstown at that time. A couple quick comments. I think Jeff is probably about the same age as Howard was when he came back. Kind of a little interesting tidbit early in their fifties, and but the thing that probably has hit me very hard, and it's why I allude to going to the games in the '60s. I could not get over the disappointment of going out there for Florida State this year and seeing a pretty an empty stadium, and going out there for Wake Forest and seeing a pretty empty stadium. I just don't think the fans ever bought back into Satterfield. And not only that, but the fact that it was the same quarterback that we've had for 5 years in Cunningham. There didn't seem to be any hope for something different, it was just stale, and you know, there was so much apathy by the fan base toward this program. Now next year, I mean, take a look at the schedule. You got Notre Dame
very winnable
in here, yes, but you've got Notre Dame coming in here. You got Kentucky coming in here. You got the opening week game against Georgia Tech down in the Georgia Dome, but you've got those 8 ACC games. You got Kentucky, you got Notre Dame, both of them are at home. I mean, what else can you ask for? There is no Florida State, and there is no Clemson, and there's no divisions anymore. So, Jeff, you know, how much he, if it's Jeff, how much he can retain the current team, how much he can retain the recruiting class that's coming in here, and how many recruits can he bring from, you know, wherever on this transfer portal thing. It's going to be huge. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not so sure that the season ticket sales wouldn't start going through the roof. It would be tough for there not to be a record-setting season ticket fan base for next year's schedule. I was so sick of the Satterfield Cunningham thing, and that was, I always felt like Satterfield put too many eggs in one basket. And where in the hell was the next quarterback recruit? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I look at some of these other teams that have, you know, like Southern Cal, they lost that kid the other night, and they've got a pretty damn good second string quarterback. And I mean, we didn't, you know, nothing against Doman, for God's sakes, nothing against him. I was so pleased, but I mean, you've got somebody that in the wings that's got some good experience and abilities. So rather than, you know, somebody that you just at the last minute grabbed out of a junior college out of Kansas. So, with that being said, I've been on the Purdue message boards as much as I have been Louisville. I think Purdue fans have kind of accepted the fact that Jeff will be leaving, and they're very thankful for what he did, and he's left the program in a better shape. And I don't harbor any ill wills toward what happened 4 years ago. I mean, he brought the kid in from Trinity that believed in him, and he was trying to build something from nothing. I mean, if that doesn't tell you something, that does. And I'll say one other thing. There was a kid that played for Western Kentucky that was from Etown, and his last name was Henry. And he got drafted by the Packers. And unfortunately, he died from cancer shortly after he started playing for the Packers. I knew the family, was out there at E-Town, and you know who else was there? Jeff, Rick Brom, excuse me, and Oscar Brom were there. And Brian was too. I mean, you know, what does that say? What does that say about the character of the Broms?
Stewards of the community. Well said.
Absolutely. And, you know, they didn't do that for any recognition. But anyway, I'm sorry for the emotions. But
No. We need that. Great call, man. Great call. And Taylor.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks, buddy.
I think we're going to have a lot of other fans like that. This is important. The Brom family is the first football family for Louisville, for U of L. And again, the stars are aligning, and I would be stunned if we didn't hear, you know, dozens of more stories just like that Chris shared.
Let's go back to the text line. We have a bunch of texts to get through here, Ethan, so we will try to get through as many of these. 437-9680 if you guys want to be involved. Texter says, didn't Brom also beat some top five teams at freaking Purdue with recruits from the city of Louisville? I think he can recruit way better at U of L, especially now with NIL. Plus, the guy beat UK at WKU, so I'd be happy with the hire.
And speaking of rivalry, Mr. Lynch, Brom is 4-1 against IU as the head coach of Purdue. Of course, there's only five games because one of the seasons was canceled because of COVID. They did not play, but they're 4-1. The lone loss was just by 3 points. So again, there's no doubt that he's going to understand the Governor's Cup rivalry, but it's also important that as a Power 5 coach, he beat his rival 4 out of 5 times.
And good for Cincinnati that they don't have a true rival that they play every year, so Scott doesn't have to worry about losing to them, too. Texter says, guys, I'm conflicted about all of this. I don't think we really have a sure thing waiting in the wings here. Texter says, Ethan, enjoy your analysis and honesty. It's appreciated. Go Cards.
Thank you, sir.
Texter says, where's the NFL game? I've had enough of this talk for one day.
Wow.
That's 27 minutes.
If you want to watch the 4-8 Saints and the 5-6 Buccaneers.
Is that a Mark Ennis texting in?
Then go for it. Let's see.
We had a caller one day call in. He's like, yeah, when are you guys going to go back to CBS National?
And oh my gosh.
I was like, I appreciate you listening, but like, you want to listen to CBS National versus whatever U of L football postgame show was that night.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go. If there's a search, Urban Meyer has an 85% win percentage and 80% in bowl games. If he came on board, everyone in the conference and in Lexington would be a lot slower with the L's down. That's the only proven head coach that I would take over Brom. It's a move that would fill the stadium. Yeah, and you'd have to check your morals at the door.
Yeah.
I'd take Urban Meyer.
I know you would. I know you would. But
you know who's not going to be the head coach?
However,
Kevin Wilson at Ohio State, their OC, former IU coach, he's taking the Tulsa job.
There you go.
Kevin Wilson will not be U of L's next head coach.
There you go. Texter says, will there be excitement if we hire anyone besides Brom? It's going to feel like Satterfield again, though. It's going to feel like that press conference. Now, that.
Dude, did you all see the 2 or 3 minute snippet of him addressing the team?
Bruh.
Dude, I fell asleep.
Bruh. Those guys do not want to run through a wall for that.
No. I mean, yeah, they have to wake up from the nap first.
Texter says, it'll only piss people off if we take extra time to delay the Brom hire, just to say they were doing their due diligence. Josh should have done work throughout the season, and the recruits and transfers who aren't Flyville, so they need recruiting.
I mean, I think he's doing his due diligence. I think when it's all said and done, it'll be fairly quick when the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted.
Texter says, I understand the real search position, but the longer that plays out, don't you think we risk losing recruits to other schools and NIL opportunities?
Sure. I mean, yeah. But that could still happen anyways. I mean, until those prospects are signed, I mean, they still have a chance to flip. I mean, again, DeAndre Moore has taken several visits. Reuben Owens has taken other visits. He's entertained. He was, you know, was going to go to the Ohio State-Michigan game just a couple of weeks ago. So, I mean, still, there's there's always the possibility out there. And when there's a coaching change, even though I think that we can agree, T-Money, that NIL is the driving catalyst here, anytime you have a coaching change, I mean, there is a chance that recruits go elsewhere. But I think, you know, if you can get a solid coach in here relatively quickly, then I still think you have a great shot with the NIL infrastructure in place to hold on to the vast majority of these guys.
No, I absolutely. And I said it earlier when I was on with Jack, but let's not pretend that some of these recruits, Pierce Clarkson in particular, was coming here to be developed by Scott Satterfield.
No.
I mean, come on.
No. Now, they did have a connection to Pete Thomas, and they did have a good relationship with Sat. I think, you know, he deserves credit for cultivating that relationship.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, he's got his Flyville brand. He has been as all in as you could be without somebody signing the dotted line for their national letter of intent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you've seen any type of recruit that promotes the Louisville brand like Pierce Clarkson and family do. So, but yeah, but anytime there's a coaching change, it's going to give you some pause. But again, Louisville football has an NIL infrastructure in place that rivals just about anyone. So again, I think will there be some guys that decommit and go elsewhere? Sure. But if I'm a betting man, and I am, I think more kids stay than leave when it's all said and done.
Texter sums it up perfectly. Who cares? I just want to win.
Yeah, dude.
I think that's
all we want.
Man.
Yeah, that's exactly how we feel.
If that texter had a microphone, they would have dropped it.
Dropped
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Winning is the name of the game.
Winning absolutely is the name of the game. And that's,
win at all costs.
Well, no, that's if you hire Urban Meyer. That's if you.
Hey, at least Auburn did the due diligence of hiring Hugh Freeze, and we do have to hear that name for this
whole
coaching
search. Oh, man. Yeah, that would have been that would have been a rough one. So, Ethan, let me ask you. If it's not Jeff Brohm, for whatever reason, if it's not Brohm, if he's, you know, loves the scenery in West Lafayette and just doesn't want to come here for whatever
reason. The legalized gambling aspect of Indiana.
Yeah, the legalized. That's what sways it. You know, gambling legal in Indiana, that's what sways it. But if for some reason it's not Jeff Brohm, who is on Ethan Moore's short list?
Garrett Riley and Sharon Moore.
I agree.
Of course, Moore from
Michigan.
Michigan offensive coordinator. He was the tight ends coach here at U of L, you know, years ago. Those would be the two young up-and-coming names. Certainly, I think Clint Hurt would certainly be a name that I would be interested in to be, you know, to become the next football coach here. If Brohm, you know, Brohm is my number one. Those guys would round out my top four.
So let me give you this. This was from our friend Steve Lassen at Athlon Sports. He put this out about 8 hours ago when the news broke about Scott Satterfield. He put together his list of the potential replacements for Satterfield. And, of course, at the top of his list, shocker, is Jeff Brohm. He also listed Brian Brown, but when we heard from Josh Hurd earlier, he said he does not believe that there is any potential candidates on this current coaching staff. So that would seemingly eliminate not only Brian Brown, but Lance Taylor as well, who was thought to be one of the top up-and-coming assistant coaches. So I thought that was kind of interesting here. Sean Lewis, head coach at Kent State.
He has since taken another job elsewhere, though.
Yep, that came
out. Didn't he want to be – he's Coach Prime's offensive coordinator, right?
He took another job. This was – again, this was 8 hours ago, so that ship has sailed. Bill O'Brien, offensive coordinator at Alabama, former Penn State head coach. Dave Ragone, obviously former Louisville – quarterback, assistant coach at the Atlanta Falcons.
Offensive coordinator there,
Yep, and then one that I had not heard, Kane Womack, head coach at South Alabama.
Yeah, I have never heard of that name.
But what are your thoughts on Bill O'Brien? Because I feel like a lot of people are going to bring that name up, maybe not so much with the Louisville search, but with other coaching searches that are going to be happening.
Yeah, I think it would be a fantastic hire. Now, if he were to be named the Louisville coach, I mean, it would be a great hire. But again, generating excitement, would that hire do that? I mean, I think you would have to be – it would be more of a wait-and-see mode for Card Nation. Whereas if you got Brohm, I think Chris nailed it, man. I think you're going to see a huge increase in season ticket sales, a huge increase in attendance. The offense will be fun again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be predictable.
You won't have to worry about the passing game, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think that was that's a product that, as fans, Louisville football fans, you're going to have the 25,000 diehards there, like you saw this year, especially the last three-fourths of the season. You're going to have the diehards that show up no matter what. Those fringe fans, if you want to get to a point where we can average again over 50,000 fans, 55,000, there just has to be an exciting brand of offense. There just has to be. With Brohm, you can get that. You can get, you know, the play action. You know, the flea flickers, the fake flea flickers. You know, the end arounds. You know, we're not going to run to the short side of the field anymore with the zone read. So you're going to see, if Brohm is the coach, an exciting brand of offense. You're in. I think that is just synonymous with Louisville football now. As we have moved into the modern era, since we've moved at Cardinal Stadium, I think that facility and exciting offenses go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. A texter says Matt Entz, head coach at North Dakota State University, says they're killing it there.
That is a powerhouse FCS program. Dude.
Absolutely.
If they're not in the finals, they're winning it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, Vance Bedford taking to Twitter, putting his support behind Sherrone Moore for the job.
Yeah.
Is Sherrone Moore going to be like the Kenny Payne where all these former people come out against and like, we want this guy? I mean, that's maybe a bad comparison.
No, I mean, I just think that, you know, they're friends in the coaching profession. He's shot up the ranks. He's been very successful.
He has.
At a variety of stops. He's been a guest of Louisville Sports Live, so obviously.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you can't go wrong there.
Obviously, we have the in there.
Yeah.
Michigan, though, a solid offensive team this season.
Yes, yeah. So, again, make no mistake, there are talented candidates out there, less known. But do you want, in this situation, do you want to give that? If you can get a sitting, successful Power 5 coach, again, look around. There's not very many programs that are able to do that. You know, Cincinnati, of course, did that with Satterfield, but I think, you know, if you take a step back and you look at that trade, there's a winner and a loser of that trade,
absolutely.
And that loser ain't with Louisville.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? We're not going to be the losers at the end of that trade. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think this is a turning point for the program. We've been kind of stuck in neutral, if you will. We haven't been terrible, but you haven't been world beaters either. You haven't been successful against your rival. You've only started to recruit really well this go-around, this cycle. So, you know, while there's other talented candidates out there, I certainly think Brohm is the prime candidate, number one. As others have alluded to all day, I do think that Purdue, it's almost kind of like App State and Satterfield going to Louisville. Once word kind of started trickling out, the fan base was happy for him. I think, by and large, Purdue fans understand. He's been there 6 years. He turned us down 4 years ago because he said, honestly, listen, I was just there. They've treated me well. 2 years wasn't long enough for me to be there. Mm-hmm. Now, the narrative has changed. And he said as much, though, Taylor, you know, in the off season. When he made a stop here in town, he was asked about it, and he said, listen, you know, I'm going into my sixth year at Purdue. I'm an alumnus of the university. I love the city. Anything can happen. No
right.
other coach is going to say right. that when asked about a job.
No, he
so,
opened
yes,
the door.
Exactly. And hopefully Louisville, you know, opens it all the way, and we can get a deal done and, you know, full steam ahead. Pun intended with the Boilermakers. Full steam ahead with Brohm on the Brohm bus coming to Louisville football again. Offensive excitement, you know, could be on the horizon.
What do you want to see if it is Jeff Brohm? What do you want to see defensively? Because that has been a bit of a bugaboo at times for Purdue.
Sure.
I don't want to win games, you know, 47-45. Like, I want to see competent defense here at Louisville. I feel like the turnaround that Brian Brown did this season was impressive. Louisville football is at its best when Louisville has a dominant defense.
You're right.
So, obviously, offensively, it's going to be great, but I would love to score 47 and hold teams to 10. I mean, that's obviously unrealistic right now in the day and age of college football that we're in, but mm-hmm. you get my point. Yeah. Like, I want to hold teams to, you know, under 28 points a game, and I want to score 47 points a game. What do you need to see defensively from Jeff Brohm? I don't know if bringing his defensive coordinator from Purdue would necessarily be the move. I don't know. What do you want to see?
It's a name, you know, it's a name that we're familiar with, Ron English.
Mm-hmm.
So, to be completely transparent and honest with you guys, like, I have not assessed, you know, the defensive statistics to see, you know, you just pull up, you know, Purdue's record, the schedule that they've played. They gave up 35 to Penn State, 32 to Syracuse, 26 to FAU, just 10 to Minnesota in a win. Again, Minnesota was number 21 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up 29 to Maryland, 37 to Nebraska, and, you know, 35 to Wisconsin. And so, you know, but again, I don't think you're not seeing teams scoring in the 40s. They gave up 24 to Illinois, just 9 to Northwestern. Indiana only scored 16 on them. Now, Michigan put up 43. But, again, that was a ball game well into the second half. So
they did give up 24 to Iowa, though, and that Iowa offense is not very good.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, yeah, the defense did not play well there. So you have the Iowa game, Michigan, although I think, you know, you have to understand it. It's Michigan, Penn State. Those were the clunkers.
Yeah.
I think giving up 32 to Syracuse. I mean, you were gifted. That was just a total meltdown. Remember, Purdue was winning the entire game. They had a couple of unsportsmanlike penalties. They had a short kickoff, and so yeah, I think, you know, if you're going to have some games that you're going to have shootouts, and I think conversely, if you look at Satterfield and Louisville's offense, a lot of people, you know, talked about Taylor. I know that we've discussed this, especially you have on LSL. You know. Well, he's known as an offensive coach, an offensive guru at times. Well, when you're scoring in the low 30s, who's not at
right.
this juncture? So my point is, even though without question Purdue had some bad games defensively, you know, offense is now the name of the game in college. So if your defense is giving up, you know, points in the high 20s. That it's not insurmountable if you have a serviceable to impressive offense, and Purdue, more often than not, does, with Jeff Brohm leading the offense. So what I want to see with the defense, I just want to see it playing aggressive and attacking. I want to see blitzing. I don't want to see, you know, rushing three, dropping eight. As long as you're aggressive, and I think if you have an aggressive defense that's boom or bust, but you have an offense that's exciting to counter that, I think most fans will be happy about that. I could be wrong, but I think by and large most fans could get behind that.
I mean, for what it's worth, Jim Leonard hasn't decided if he's staying at Wisconsin or not. So, you know,
yeah.
Maybe go, Jeff Brohm, go grab Jim Leonard. See if he.
Man, another Big Ten West.
He's going to have a head coach, man.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And Garrick McGee, that's another name, right, that we remember. He's
their
wide receiver coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, could some other names, you know, return? I don't know.
Bring Clint Hurt home as DC here.
Yeah. He ain't leaving.
Bring Vance Bedford back.
Listen.
Get on the train.
Hey, I'd get on that train. He was fantastic. Talk about an exciting, attacking, aggressive defense.
Yeah.
That was Bedford. I'd be on board for that.
Now, what's our thoughts on Brian Van Gorder?
You shut your mouth right now. Turn your mic off for the rest of the show.
Oh, no.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Dude, what a disaster he was. Golly.
Yeah,
I just threw up in my mouth.
Texas says those defensive numbers suck. Yeah, they're not. They're not ideal. I don't think he could bring his defensive coordinator with him. I think that he would have to make a move and go get somebody else that
sure.
that could be, you know, a solid defensive coordinator for them. Maybe a guy at the group of five level that's been a defensive coordinator for a while that has a successful defense. Maybe you go that route. I don't know. Or maybe you try to pick a guy from the ACC, see if you can't get a defensive coordinator from another ACC school and bring them in so that you have somebody that's got some familiarity with the defense, with the conference. Maybe there's got to be a guy on that Pittsburgh staff that Jeff Brohm could grab as his defensive coordinator.
Sure. Yeah, I just think as long as the defense is attacking and aggressive, we can live with giving up the big play. Again, if you have that confidence that, all right, well, you know what? The defense blew it there, but our offense is going to put points up on the board this ensuing drive. We haven't had that type of confidence.
No.
In a long, very long time. Even Petrino 2.0, you know, we didn't have that confidence that he's going to scheme up something and score on that opening drive like he seemed to do every single game in his first stint. We haven't had that confidence in our coach from an offensive standpoint in quite some time that I think you could have with Brohm.
You're absolutely right. That is the thing that has been missing from Louisville football, because it felt like, especially towards the end of this season in some of those games, it felt like if the defense didn't get a stop, then Louisville didn't have an opportunity to win because you didn't know if the offense was going to go down and score. I mean, it felt that way in the Kentucky game. It felt like if Louisville's defense didn't get a pick six or a fumble recovery for a touchdown, that it was over with because the offense was doing absolutely nothing. And it felt that way in the Clemson game as well. So that is the point, and I agree with you, that's the point that I want to get back to. I want to get back to Louisville's offense taking the field, and you expect they're going to score a touchdown every single time they have the ball. And Louisville had that even when Bobby Petrino 2.0 was here, because you had Lamar Jackson. I thought every time Louisville was on the field with Lamar, they were going to score. They were going to find a way to score because you had Lamar Jackson. And that is also a thing that Louisville has not had in a while. And Scott Satterfield, in his time here, in 4 years, he did not beat his rival, did not play for a conference championship, and did not
recruit. Had a losing record in ACC play.
Had a losing record in ACC play and did not recruit a quarterback.
Yeah.
He never, in 4 years, got a guy to come and take over for Malik Cunningham or to push Malik Cunningham. And that's a massive failure. A massive failure to not be able to recruit a quarterback and to not have a guy under center that you feel like is a game buster playmaker. And that is what Jeff Brohm is going to bring back here. I mean, can you imagine what Pierce Clarkson would do in Jeff Brohm's offense?
Man, nasty.
And DeAndre Moore.
I mean, just look what he did with Aiden O'Connell, who was a walk-on fifth or sixth year guy right now. And you get a
well over 300 yards per game. Yeah, man. Our buddy Ty Spaulding texts in, Purdue is 37th in total defense. Louisville was 34th.
Okay.
I mean, that's more than serviceable.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can live with that. We can live with that, especially when you have an exciting offense to complement it.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely. That is what Louisville needs to get back to. How do you feel about, as we've got a few minutes left in our show. Now, Ethan, are you taking everybody up to 10 o'clock?
I can.
I didn't know what our plan was. I know I'm here till 9 with you guys. I didn't know what our plan was moving forward.
You have the warm milk and bedtime at 9:30. I understand that.
You got it. I want to get your opinion, though, on the way that Scott Satterfield left.
Okay.
How do you feel about the way that he left as far as how he handled things with the current players on this roster?
I think it's Bush League, honestly. I think it's Bush League for you to tell your team via FaceTime or whatever he did for that, especially when the school you're going to is legitimately like an hour and a half up the road. Now, if he was cross country and they wanted to have a presser that day, I could understand that from a logistics standpoint. But, you know, you owe it to your players to tell them face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that. The timing is never good. I'm not going to blame him for the timing because, you know, listen, once the regular season ends, especially, you know, the conference championship weekend ends, that's when this stuff happens. And shouts out to the Fenway Bowl for, by far, the most intriguing game in December that you're going to see. Can you imagine the storylines for that one?
And then they, with and both they share the teams,
and they share the sideline.
Yeah, so it's crazy, man. It's crazy. So I wasn't a fan of it. I would have liked to see him address the team, you know, face to face. But maybe he saw the writing on the wall based on the social media backlash that he received. I mean, man, the Fitzpatricks didn't hold back at all.
No, not at all.
Nobody held back. It's no. Yasir Abdullah's dad has been very vocal about it today, I've mm-hmm. seen.
Sure. Yeah, man. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's you can't be perfect in your exit strategy in times like this. It could have been a lot better. And you would think, you know, the way he handled leaving App State to come to Louisville, you know, it usually doesn't happen in this industry.
Right.
But it did for them. But I would have liked for him to meet face-to-face because logistically you could have made it work. You could have done that and then still had your 1 o'clock presser by just, you know, simply driving up I-71. Yeah. So where did you all hear about it? Where did you first hear about it? I have a funny story about that.
So what's funny is I was working – and I had to go somewhere else this morning before I went to the office, but still for work. So I got in the car literally at 7:58, and I heard Diener and Mark reacting, and I'm like, what is going on? And then I look at my phone, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Crazy.
So where were you? What happened? How'd you figure it out?
So I had a buddy text me earlier this morning and was like, I heard from somebody that Satterfield is going to go to Cincinnati. I'm like, what? And then I remembered what you told me last week, and I was like, that's interesting, you know? And then I had another friend at the gym. I was at the gym, and then he called me over there, and I was like, uh-oh, that has to be it. Like, usually – you know, if people are screaming my name at the gym, it's because I'm squatting 400 and bench pressing 3.
Obviously.
You know what I mean?
So, obviously.
But then, so I put two and two together, and sure enough, still shocked that this even came to fruition. Man, that
I know.
Was crazy.
What a day.
And LSL will come to you this Wednesday, I believe, though, Taylor. We're going to be on from 8 to 10 because of the Coach Jeff Wald show.
Mm-hmm.
So keep it locked on 939 The Ville all day tomorrow. We're going to have more coverage of this. Again, LSL on Wednesday from 8 to 10. Thanks to everybody interacting with us. Thanks,
yes.
Taylor, for having me on this back end. Man, it was nice to chat a little LSL on a Monday night for you.
There you go. Thank you guys so much. That'll wrap up our coverage. We will be back with you in the morning for more on Scott Satterfield and the Louisville head coaching job. Until then, good night, everybody.